of my beloved as touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge, that's the fence thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and it shall be trodden down, and I'll lay it waste, and it will not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, and lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. You know, there's that innate temptation, even in religion, to become exclusive. To have something nobody else has ever had, and to get a brand new doctor nobody else has ever got. Boy, boy, boy. And fence out a whole lot of folks and command the following by. Just remember, when you become exclusive, you always exclude more than you include. Amen. Oh, yes. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Amen. It's talking about the houses becoming desolate all over the country. Somebody cut that big air conditioner off back there, I think. Amen. All over the Middle Eastern countries. There are ruins, palaces, castles. I mean, Egypt is full of magnificent ruins. Empty, magnificent ruins. Greece is full of empty, magnificent ruins. Amen. Empty cities. They're all time digging down into empty cities. The tell, the dig, the mound where they dig is full of empty houses. There was one time a city there. But God, amen, was left out, and judgment came, and there's no longer a city, just a bare, wasted hill with layer after layer of ruined houses in it. Amen. Jesus instructed us to build on the rock. That way we'd last. If you don't build on the rock, we won't stand. Amen. We're building today houses that won't stand. We had a wedding last night. Amen. I thought of a new wedding ceremony, you know. Amen. I thought about challenging the groom and the bride. Amen. Are you an honest man? Do you keep your word? Can you be counted on? Amen. These people looking at you, can you be counted on to keep your word? Wilt thou? Amen. Leave father and mother. Take this woman, this man, to be thy lawfully wedded wife or husband until death divides you. Amen. Now think about it. Is your word any good? Amen. I mean, your word used to be your bond. If you said you'd do something, you'd do it or die trying. That's the way I was raised, Roscoe Burns. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way you was raised too, wasn't it? You say you'd do something, you'd do it. Die trying. Amen. And that's what God wants out of men today. He wants men and women to be good at their word. They'll do it, they'll say it, and they'll do it. Even if it goes against the grain, they'll do it. Bible said, he that sweareth is to his own hurt. Amen. Yeah, he'll do it even if it hurts him. Praise God. Amen. Tom May, they didn't have a teacher at District Number 1 Big Creek School. And Tom May lived up Big Creek about 2 miles or so from Big Creek School. And he said, my daughter can teach it. And he said, if she can't teach it, I'll teach it for nothing. Well, his daughter went to work to teach Big Creek grade school, one room country school, and she couldn't teach it. She couldn't cut it. Amen. And Tom May, the old chronicler, the old statesman of the country, amen, the orator, the guy that could quote great long poems, amen, and come to visit the school and just rattle off the longest old poem you ever heard from heart, amen, like Brother Routon does. And Tom May, I heard him tell it, he said, I taught Big Creek School free of charge. Why? Because he said, if my daughter can't do it, I'll do it. Amen. You stand up here in front of these witnesses and before God and the preacher, and you're so nervous you don't hardly hear anything that's going on. But I thought we need to challenge people a little stronger nowadays. You going to keep your word? Amen. Now, you already know that man's faults, but you think you'll change it, but what if you don't? Amen. You think you're going to accept the challenge of changing him, but what if you don't? If you're a man or a woman of your word, you'll stay with it anyway for your kids' sake. You have a debt to those kids. Amen. And I want to tell you something. If you break those vows and you got a house full of kids, it's bad enough you ain't. But if you break those vows and you got a house full of kids, amen, you're low life. Amen. You have lied to God and men. Amen. God said, I'll sing you a song of my beloved as touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones. If you ever been to Israel, you know about those rocks. Ooh-wee. There's some places there that they took a bulldozer and bulldozed rocks. I'm talking about as big as this pulpit and bigger, huge stones and big windrows of stones and then planted wheat. After they got the stones gathered out. Amen. And it's a law in Israel that you build out of limestone. You know why? Because they got plenty of it. They need to get rid of a lot of limestone. Amen. So they just passed the law to build everything in Jerusalem out of limestone. So every building, every house, amen, that golden city is built out of limestone. Amen. They got lots of it. They gathered out the stones thereof. There's a lot of work in making this vineyard, praise God. And we think about who's doing it. We ask the question, looks like God could have done better. Looks like God could have built a better vineyard. It looks like God, as smart as he is, could have used better stock. But you know, he didn't, because he had to use you and me. Amen. And every once in a while, amen, we have a wild streak that comes out. Amen. I don't know why it is, but every once in a while, you know, you'll have you can have good hybrid seed, good hybrid stock. Amen. And every once in a while, you'll have a muted wild one, you know. Amen. Used to do that when we was raising beans. Me and Tato was up there raising beans together. I didn't pay no attention when those greasy beans, you know, got a wild vine in the buds that wasn't like the other stock. But Tato, he'd pull it up and throw it away. I'd pick the beans off of them and eat them, but he didn't want them to get mixed with the rest of it. So he'd pull it up and throw it away. Amen. He said, what could have been done more in my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked at it, should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Amen. Oh, boy. Amen. This is God doing this. Praise God. Well, in case you're wondering what my little text is for my short essay tonight, it's God's doing a good job with what he's got to work with. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. God doing a good job with what he's got to work with. Praise God. Oh, he said, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up. That's all you have to do, where the camels and the goats and the sheep and everything's roaming through the country and looking for something to eat, to take down the fence, and they'll take care of the vineyard. Amen. That's all you have to do. Amen. Break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. God said, I've put all this work, I've digged, I have took the stones out, I've done the best I could. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I was up there mowing today, and I drove under a mulberry limb, and they was ripe. And I stopped. And with the tractor running, amen, I picked me several hands full, and then I came back, and I stopped again. And I picked me several hands full. Amen. That mulberry tree that Brother Burkett climbed up, it's just loaded with mulberries this year. And they're all over the ground and all over the tree. That's where I picked those mulberries, and Sister Collins made a mulberry pie. And Brother Burkett liked it so good, I looked out and Brother Burkett was up in that tree. Amen. Picking some more. And... Amen. That's the Brother Burkett that preaches now, the same one that preaches very dignified behind the pulpit. He likes things like that, and so he was up that tree picking some more. Well, now, that's not the best way to do it. Get you a drop cloth if you want to get a lot of mulberries. Amen. And spread it under the mulberry tree and shake that thing. Amen. And then empty it into a bucket, and you can get a lot of mulberries that way, and you won't... Mulberries is one of my favorite berries. When the mulberries gets ripe, it seems like I can smell young gray squirrels fried. Because the first 15 days of June in Arkansas, when the mulberries ripe, they open up a squirrel season. And the squirrels is young, and I've seen Dad shoot three or four out of one mulberry tree. Amen. Just stand in one spot and shoot three or four squirrels. They're carrying mulberries, getting fat on mulberries. So we used to have a treat for country folks. Tender young gray squirrel, rolled and battered and flour and chicken fried. Boy, that was good. And this time of the year, I could just about smell gray squirrel fried. Amen. And I couldn't resist the temptation. You know, when you're mowing those mulberry trees, all you have to do is just touch a limb, and they fall between you and the tractor seat. And you can't stop. And so you smash those mulberries, and they turn your clothes blue, and the tractor seat is smudged, and they get down your neck and everything else, but you just keep a-going. Amen. But it's one of my favorite tasting berries. Wild, right out of the tree, right out of the woods. Amen. Well, God was expecting something good out of his vineyard. Amen. And you know, Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But everywhere I hear that holiness churches all over the country are going dead. Well, folks, that's nothing new. Because ain't nothing deader than holiness once they get sour. Amen. I mean, they can sit with the longest face and the most judgmental attitude. Amen. And I mean, they look at you as if to say, I've heard it all, I've seen it all, and you ought to be glad I'm here. Turn something on and entertain me. Amen. Hey, if you didn't come to worship, there's something wrong. Praise God. Hey, amen, you needed to bring some sweetness in that door when you came in that door. You need to bring a smile in that door when you came in that door. Praise God. Amen. What do you get when you squeeze a good, ripe, juicy grape? What do you get? Amen. Good old sweet grape juice, don't you? Amen. I mean, that's that new wine. Amen. Carla's not here. She went down into South Carolina, North Carolina, somewhere and went to church with some of their kin folks and took communion with them. She said, you know what? Said, when I drank that communion wine, said, it burned all the way down. Amen. It was fermented. They was using the real thing. Amen. Amen. And we was in the Holy Land several years ago. Gene Huff and a whole bunch of folks was along, you know, and amen. We went into that Assyrian Christian Arab store right out of Bethlehem there. And boy, they had orange juice and then they had red juice there too. Amen. And I like juices, and so I picked up an orange juice and down that real quick. It was just in tumblers. Amen. And I picked up a red one and it burned all the way down. But I drank it so fast I couldn't reverse the order. Amen. And so they laughed at me for drinking that wine all the rest of the way through that Holy Land tour. And I talked like, yeah. Hello, folks. Hey,
And so I carried on a little bit. Amen. But I mean, when the Lord planted his vineyard, he expected something good. I want you to know, when Jesus shed his blood and said, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he sent his prophets robed in rags, some of them barefooted. Amen. And they gave their head and they shed their blood. And they give us a Bible stained with blood, if you please, the blood of the martyrs. Hallelujah. And he said, what more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done it? And he's asking, what more could have been done in my church than I've done in it? Amen. Amen. My God. I tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll listen to the radio so long and watch TV so long until we'll become a bunch of Christian couch potatoes. And we'll come to church to be entertained and won't say amen, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, or nothing. We just sit there and look. Amen. Like we haven't got a tongue, like we can't talk. Well, I praise the Lord out of my heart. The Lord knows my heart. Brother Moorhead used to say, that's just a trouble. He knows your heart. Hey, if we can hang on the telephone a half an hour at a time, we can go to church and worship God. Amen. He said, I'll send you another comforter. Praise God. Now, we won't drag very long till the Lord will eliminate us. We'll not drag very long on God and drag and sag and flag, amen, until God will eliminate us. Praise God. We'll not murmur and complain too long, amen, and sour up on God too long until God will tear down the fence, amen, and tear down the wall and turn in the wild animals. Amen. And command the heavens that they not send any rain. You say, couldn't God do a better job? Amen. Yeah, he's doing a good job with what he's got to work with. Amen. But we make wrong choices. We make bad decisions. Amen. We fool around with the wrong things until God gets enough of it after a while. You know what? God's getting tired of some people. You're not going to mess around with God very long. Amen. God's going to get tired of it. Amen. My God, judgments are coming, folks. Amen. And you know where it starts? He said, judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. And if it begins at us, amen, where shall a sinner and the ungodly appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, and I'll coin the phrase of Brother Warren Moorhead again, my old pastor back home, amen, that pastored the Midway Pentecostal Church before I did. I was just a kid. But he said, the righteous will be saved. The righteous scarcely be saved. Amen. You know what Israel did? When Jesus came along, Jesus gave them a parable, you know, about the owner that sent forth his husbandmen, you know, to collect from the vineyard. And amen. And they said, let's kill them. Let's get rid of them. We'll have the vineyard to ourselves. Amen. So they killed the prophets one by one. And finally he sent his own son, the heir. Amen. They said, let's kill him. This is the heir. If we get rid of him, we'll have it all to ourselves. And you know what? Across this world, religions are still doing that. They want all that following to themselves. Amen. But God is the owner. Amen. And oh, he's going to come at a time when they're not looking for it. You know, he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Not our kingdom, not our will. Hallelujah. It's his kingdom and it's his will. It's his church. I'm just the under shepherd. It's his church. Amen. But oh God. Amen. What more could have been done in his vineyard? A constant stream of people that left all to follow Christ and live by faith. I mean, they left all. I mean, no job security, no insurance, no retirement, no nothing. They left all and trusted God. Amen. And you know what? I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. I never once entertained the thought of turning back and quitting. Never once. Amen. Never once, amen, did I decide that I was getting a bad deal. Why, there's folks that's only been working a few years their job, and they're making 3 or 4 times what I'm making and got all those perks and all the insurance and all retirement and everything. Amen. I never even give it a thought. I wouldn't trade jobs with a president of the United States. Amen. I am working for the King. Hallelujah. And my reward's not down here. It's over yonder. Praise God. Oh, I'll get some down here 100-fold, he said. Amen. He pays us off down here. But if I get martyred before I get it all, don't worry about it. I've been laying up for a long time for on the other side. Hallelujah. What more could have been done in my vineyard? I sent my servants. Amen. And I told them to sing. And I told them to smile. When they didn't have a penny in their pocket, when they couldn't pay the bills, I told them to sing. I told them to smile. Praise God. Oh, Brother Sheffy rode the hills. Amen. And prayed. Wore out 3 sheepskins. Praying on his knees in the hills. Hours at a time. For poor people, give away. Finally made it home. And his wife said, I'm so glad you made it home, Robert. Now we can pay some bills and buy some groceries. And he said, he didn't hardly have nerve enough to tell it. He passed the widow's house up the road. And he gave her the last money they had. Because he figured that they needed it worse than he did. Amen. She remonstrated with him about how that he ought to pay his brother who was grub-staking them, so to speak. They were living on loans from Robert Sheffy's brother. Amen. And this prophet of the mountains was riding a horse through the mountains and preaching to folks that wouldn't have the gospel otherwise. And Robert said, oh, he said, my brother needs to lay up for reward himself. Amen. He didn't worry. There came a time when his little boy grew up and he went to work to help pay his dad's bills that he incurred while he was preaching the gospel. Amen. What more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done in it? When Robert Sheffy died, they sent 4 horsemen. 4 different directions to ride every highway and sound the message throughout the mountains of West Virginia and Kentucky and Virginia. Amen. And before those horsemen got back, there were so many wagons out on the road that they got caught in their own traffic jam and couldn't get through because so many people was going to Robert Sheffy's funeral. What more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done in it? Amen. Lady Nick, they nicknamed her because she sat on the outside in the darkness and only came in darkness. They figured she came from a wealthy family and had too much pride, family pride, to come inside the lighted area of the camp meeting. And so they called her Lady Nick because she came at night like Nicodemus did. One night, She cast a red rose to Robert Sheffy as he invited her into the meeting and to get saved. And she said, "Before I accept your religion, this red rose will turn to white." The wagons came and the preachers preached and the people eulogized the prophet that had given his life to the people of the mountains. Amen. A little illegitimate boy that he had prayed over his birth when he was born. He said, "Oh God, make a preacher out of him and give him 1,000 souls." Praise God. Years later, Robert Sheffy got a letter from a Methodist preacher. And he said, "I just won my 1,000th soul. I'm that little illegitimate baby boy that you prayed over that God would give him 1,000 souls. What more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done in it?" Amen. They preached and preached, and they laid Robert Sheffy in the grave, and the crowd began to all walk away. Hundreds of wagons begin to win their way back home. When the crowd slipped away, a woman robed in black with a black veil on her face walked down to the grave alone and cast a white rose spiraling down onto the casket. Lady Nick had given her life to God. I finished the book. Amen. Way up about 4 o'clock in the morning when I was pastoring at Middletown, and I sat on the side of the bed and cried. Oh, what more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done in it? We've heard it all. We've seen it all. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. God has blessed us. God has prospered us. And yet for all of that, we drag and we flag and we show disloyalty and unfaithfulness to the cause of Christ and to the church. Amen. To family and home and vows. Amen. And our word is not worth the paper it's written on. Amen. What more could have been done in my vineyard? Not a... Now, just before he crashes through that wall and tears it down and smashes it to smithereens and turns a wild beast in on it, I think we ought to try one more time. I think we ought to seek God one more time, don't you? Amen. He's doing a good job with what he's got to work with. Let's improve the material. Amen. Stand with me. And let's come around the altar. And let's seek God. Father, bless our broken remarks. And challenge our hearts. That opportunity is knocked again and again and again. And I don't know why we're so far from God. Amen. When opportunity has knocked so hard and so long. And we've been blessed so good. What more could have been done in my vineyard than I've done in it? Sing. Amen. Don't wait. Sing. Praise God.